Shaishanam Rajatyurdhavam Anuvanyam Patin Sati Pasyatasman Atityarchir Duravipavyena Karmana Sa
She
Esha
Esha
This
Noonam
Noonam
Certainly
Vrajati
Going
Urdhvam
Upward
Anu
Following
Vainyam
The son of Vena
Patim
Husband.
Sati
Chaste
Pashyata
Just see
Asman.
Us
Atitya,
overpassing.
Archi,
of the name Archi.
Duravibhavena,
by inconceivable.
Kamana,
activities.
Translation. The wives of the demigods continued. Just see how this chaste lady Archi, by dint of her inconceivable pious activities, is still following her husband upward as far as we can see. Purport. Both Pitru Maharaj's airplane and the airplane carrying Queen Archi were passing out of the vision of the ladies of the higher planetary systems. These ladies were simply astonished to see how Pitru Maharaj and his wife achieved such an exalted position. Although they were the wives of the denizens of the higher planetary system, and Pitru Maharaj was an inhabitant of an inferior planetary system, the Earth, the king, along with his wife, passed beyond the realms of the demigods and went upward towards Vaikuntha Lok. The word urdhvam, upward, is significant here, for the ladies speaking here from the higher planetary systems, which include the moon, the sun, and Venus, up to Brahmalok, or the highest planet. Beyond Brahmalok is the spiritual sky, and in that spiritual sky there are innumerable Vaikuntha Lokas. Thus, the word urdhvam indicates that the Vaikuntha planets are beyond or above these material planets, and it was to these Vaikuntha planets that Pitru Maharaj and his wife were going. This also indicates that when Pitru Maharaj and his wife Archi abandoned their material bodies in the material fire, they immediately developed their spiritual bodies and entered into spiritual airplanes, which could penetrate the material elements and reach the spiritual sky. Since they were carried by two separate airplanes, it may be concluded that even after being burned in the funeral pyre, they remained separate. Individual persons. In other words, they never lost their identity or became void as imagined by the impersonalists. The ladies in the higher planetary systems were capable of seeing both downward and upward. When they looked down, they could see that the body of Pitru Maharaj was being burned and that his wife Archi was entering into the fire. And when they looked upward, they could see how they were being carried in two airplanes to the Vaikuntha Lokas. All of this is possibly simply by durdvibhavyena karmana, inconceivable activity. Pitru Maharaj was a pure devotee, and his wife, Queen Archi, simply followed her husband. Thus, they can both be considered pure devotees, and thus they are capable of performing inconceivable activities. Such activities are not possible for ordinary men. Indeed, ordinary men cannot even take to the devotional service of the Lord, nor can ordinary women maintain such vows of chastity and follow their husband in all respects. A woman does not need to attain high qualification, but if she simply follows in the footsteps of her husband, who must be a devotee, then both husband and wife attain liberation and are promoted to the Vaikuntha Lokas. This is evinced by the inconceivable activities of Pitru Maharaj and his wife.
Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Tulay Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Govardhani Pacharini Niru Vishesha Shunibhati Prasthacha Vesitam Om Aganati Mirandasya Dhanam Minasha Vakaya Chakshura Vinyatam Jena Tasma Shri Vedanima
So I prepared a class on the previous verse and purport. But as the will of the Lord would have it, we're talking about something else. It's not so much something else. But in this whole section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and not only in this section, but in the section to follow, the story of Prachini Bharata, especially at the very end of that story, where his wife also laments his disappearance in the allegorical story that Narada tells Prachini Bharata. Prabhupada speaks of this relationship between husband and wife as reminiscent of the relationship between guru and disciple, and also between Krishna and his devotees. In the previous purport, Prabhupada speaks about, it's the last sentence, he says, husband and wife should live in Krishna consciousness and follow in the footsteps of Lakshmi Narayan or Krishna Rukmini, and in this way, peace and harmony can be possible within this world. In this purport, Srila Prabhupada speaks of the amazement of the demigoddesses, how they were watching and even lamenting a bit, because here they were, denizens of the heavenly planets, very wealthy, very opulent, very well situated. Prabhupada used to quip that the unfortunate reality of his disciples was that they all wanted to go to the heavenly planets. So, because we're attracted to the idea of Vaikuntha without anxiety. I mean, maybe we're attracted to nice things also, but we're pretty austere when it comes to things. I remember when I was getting my card for Belgium, and the policemen, they come to check that you actually live where you say you live. So they come up to the ashram and they check your room to see if you really have a room and you're really there. So he came up to the woman's ashram, this two policemen, and he came into my room and looked around, and he said, "Wow, you have your own room. You must be someone special." But I'm not the only one that has my own room up there. But the point is that, in general, we live very simply. And I was thinking at that time how wonderful it is that these police officers actually get the opportunity to see that we walk our talk, that we actually live in a very simple situation. Many people have these ideas, you know, especially when they see this big castle. They don't realize the inside is quite old and that upstairs is not quite as glittery as downstairs. But they don't really understand how we live our lives, you know, and they may have some fantasies about, you know, based on certain rumors that we do this and that and the other thing. But that they actually see that we live an austere life. So materially speaking, we're pretty good. I mean, even the most opulent of us might have a whole house, you know, or, you know, but if you walk inside, you'll find there's not a whole lot of furniture, and there's not, you know, we don't have many cars and summer homes and all those things that people aspire for. But we aspire for Vaikuntha. We aspire to live an anxiety-free life. And that is either the heavenly planet, or even worse, the Brahmajyoti, where we actually disappear. You know, our individuality vanishes, and we're free from all the problems that come with the body, which is all the problems really, because all the problems we have are contingent on this material body. So if we get rid of it, one rationalizes that if we get rid of this body, then all our problems will be solved, right? All our 5 and 10 cent problems will be solved by that one move of disappearing into the void. So here Prabhupada also brings up that as the demigoddesses were seeing Archie and Prithu go in their separate airplanes, they were lamenting, here we are in this very beautiful, opulent, even up to Brahmaloka, Prabhupada explains. We're here, They were less than us. They were in the material world, on earth. And there they were on earth. And yet, nevertheless, they're going to the spiritual world, and here we are stuck in the heavenly planets. And Prabhupada makes the comment that they were seeing two airplanes. And so, you know, Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prasthacha, the Sitarani, Prabhupada's mission is to destroy impersonalism and voidism. So he takes the opportunity to mention two planets, two people going to the spiritual world. They didn't merge, they didn't disappear, they didn't even become one with each other. They both made it individually. So meditating on what is happening here, that of course Prithu and Archie are not your average husband and wife. I mean, if you think about how they appeared in the first place, you know, Prithu's body, Venu's body was churned, whatever that means, and from his one churns butter, one churns, you know, what do you churn bodies? I don't know what that means. But somehow they churned it. They churned Venu's body, and from his body came both Prithu and Archie. They both came together. It wasn't like Prithu appeared and then he said, okay, I need a wife, you know, and went to the astrologer to see who was available. It wasn't like that. They both appeared from the body of Venu. So that's kind of a unique situation. So one could say that, and also we all know that Prithu was a Shaktavesha avatar. And aside from being a Shaktavesha avatar, he obviously had other qualifications because he was born in that very unique way, and so was Archie. So from the very beginning, these two people were special people. They're not, you know, Joe and Mary Smith who joined the Hare Krishna movement when they were, you know, 19. But setting that aside, one considered the lessons that are being taught here and in the previous purport. Prabhupada speaks a lot about fidelity here. In the previous purport, a little bit heavier. In this purport, he mentions it at the end. The concept that a woman is supposed to follow her husband. The relationship of husband and wife is a relationship of mutual service. And like I said at the beginning, it's likened to the relationship between the guru and the disciple and between Rukmini and Krishna or Lakshmi Narayan. That this is an obligation. And it's an obligation, a duty, which is born of the mistake we made previously. We came into the material world, we're here. Okay, so now, as Prabhupada used to use the expression, let's make the best use of the bad bargain. So we already have a material body, we're already in the material world, and now what? So in the life that we lead, whatever life it is, whether we're brahmachari, sannyas, vanaprastha, grihastha, whatever we are, we have certain responsibilities, certain things that we need to do if we want to achieve the goal of human life, which is to get out of this body. And here, Archie and Prithu, they achieved the goal of human life. Now, they didn't only serve each other as husband and wife. Archie served her husband, but her husband was a great devotee of Krishna. He was a leader. He was a powerful preacher and a powerful example. They were both powerful examples of Dharma, of proper spiritual behavior and proper material behavior. By following them, by following their example, not only in this regard, but in their entire life example, one achieves pure devotional service, which is the duty of every devotee, to set an example, right? Yet Acharya Ti Shresta, that whatever we do, common men will follow in their our footsteps. So therefore, we have a responsibility to act above suspicion, or to act in a way that will inspire others to move forward in their devotional life. That's our obligation. We carry that on our head. And if we carry that until the moment of death, then people will become inspired not only by our life, but also by our death, which we've seen. Many devotees have done that for us and will continue to do it in the years to come, right? Many of my god brothers and god sisters have left us, at least their bodies have left us. And because of the glorious way Yadananda Maharaj was talking about a friend of his and a person who gave him some spiritual insight, and the day after his class, right? It was the next day. He actually left. And he left in a glorious way. He was chanting Hare Krishna. He was surrounded by devotees. And so we see many, many devotees doing that. And we become inspired, you know, that if we don't know how to live, at least we know how to die. and it's somewhat easier because, although death is not easy, but at the same time, the process of dying is a relatively confined period of time. So if we could just get it together for that final examination, you know, then we can go back to the spiritual world. And Prabhupada was very kind to give us that process.